work. We had baptism Friday night. That's why we do church. And this morning's message, joy in the gospel, honestly, it just dovetails off of what we've just witnessed. That's the real deal. And Paul writes about it in the book of Philippians. So we're going to continue today through Paul's letter to the Philippians. You'll find in the New Testament, Philippians. Today we'll continue with part two, and it's titled Joy in the Gospel. You know, even though Paul was in prison when he wrote this, he was under house arrest when he wrote this, he wanted people to know that his joy was complete in Christ. And that's why he wrote this letter. And if you and I, honestly, folks, today, if you and I can even, maybe just in a little way, grab a hold of this and understand, pay attention and listen. If in just a little way, maybe you can understand this. God has really been teaching me this week. It will dramatically change your life. I hope you believe that this morning. Let's pray and ask God to help us. God, I ask you to help us this morning. Lord, Father, help us to understand the truth from your Bible, from this letter to the Philippians. Lord, I pray right now against distractions. I pray that you would help us, Lord. Hear from you. Lord, nobody wants to hear from me. We want to hear from you. Thank you that you've promised that. And we can look at your Bible and your promises are true. So, Lord, today, whatever it is you need us to know, just make it so. We trust you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, honestly, oftentimes when I prepare, I'll read all kinds of stuff and want to have things that I want to pass on to you. This morning's message, it is just on my heart. Okay? This section of Scripture, God is teaching me in a deep way. As I read through it, I just thought, oh my goodness, this will preach. It's just God's Word, and it's just so full of meat. The joy in the gospel. So I'll start with a question. How can you and I find joy in the gospel? How can you and I find joy in the gospel? That's the first question. And we're going to start off with is five ways to find joy in the gospel. So we're looking in the Bible at Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 30. And we're going to go through it, and I'll just make a few comments about each section. There's just some fantastic stuff here. So let's dig in. Let's dig right in. Use your chains for Christ. The first way you can find joy in the gospel. Use your chains for Christ. Let's read this. Chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. And Paul says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." What? Paul is under house arrest. He's witnessing, says here, to the palace guards. So he's witnessing to the people that have arrested him. He's telling them, he's sharing the gospel with them. And he's excited about it. And even more astonishing is people even in Caesar's household are becoming believers, and other people that may be being persecuted or under arrest are also speaking more boldly than ever in this. As a result of what Paul's going through, the brothers and sisters are encouraged, so they're all starting to share their faith more. What is this, Paul? What does he know? How could he even think about sharing the gospel? We're in prison here. Oh my, what kind of faith is that? Who is this guy? What does he know that we don't know? So other people are encouraged by his faith. And let's face it, okay? For you and I, Each and every one of us, we have some sort of chains. There's somehow some prison we're in, something we're chained up about, you and I. Either we're actually in jail or going to jail, or our job seems like jail, or your marriage is so messed up, it's like a jail, or not having a job or income has you paralyzed. Maybe you have a mental or physical disability. Maybe you have some sort of sin addiction that Satan has convinced you can't stop. You can't stop it. Satan has convinced you of that. Maybe that's your chain. We all, let's face it, we all are up against something. Something that has us chained. Something that's hard for us. That we can't figure out. Here's the point. God knows. It's no surprise to God. I like this next verse. We often use it around here. God works for the good. Look at Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. You know, most of you know that I have been wrestling with cancer. And right now, that's kind of my chain, if you will. This thing, this sickness. Ever since last Thanksgiving, when I found out, and radiation and chemo and surgery and more chemo and all, it's my chains right now. Yep, sure enough, that's mine. And I don't want you to feel sorry for me. God's doing good things. But I have cancer for Christ, kind of what I'm thinking. And not that I don't think cancer's from Christ. Don't get confused here. I'm pretty convinced it's from the evil one. All right? I saw a picture of it. That's not God. And honestly, He is using it for my good and for the good of others. He is. And it's my chain right now. And I don't always have a good attitude about it. You can ask my wife and kids. But no matter what, God knows. God knows. And this is my thing. And God is going to help me walk through that. And He's going to, in fact, carry me much of the way, if not all the way. And He knows about your chain, whatever it might be. Right now, He knows, and He is there to help you in it. You wouldn't be in it if it wasn't for Him. He will use it for good in your life. And I know that as much as I don't want this, He's using it for good. So no matter what, turn and face your situation. And God's teaching me that. And I'm trying to learn it. Turn and face that job that's driving you crazy. This job, I don't want it. God has you there, maybe for a purpose way beyond yourself. Most likely. There's someone that needs you. You may be Jesus for someone. You may need to help someone in that place. You know, if your marriage is really hard right now, turn and face it. And there's one thing about marriage. Being difficult doesn't help it get better. You know what I mean? If it's difficult and you're both being difficult in it and both keep being difficult and difficult and difficult, that doesn't make it better. That will never make it better. God has you in that marriage. He placed you there. Whether you like it or not, you need to buck up and make the best of it and do your part to make it better. And usually that means to die to yourself. Okay? It's not about you. It's about your spouse. Serve them. Serve them. Serve them. Serve them. Serve them. Make it better. As much as it depends on you, you fight to make it better. You fight for that marriage. You dig in. It's for life. God set it up. It's His plan. Make it better, make it better, make it better. Fight for it. If you're sick, God has something in that. God has something in it. If you're in jail or on your way to jail, God might have a Bible study in mind for you. Lots of people have come through that. A lot of spare time just to spend with the Lord, and He's changed them. Got their attention. If you have an addiction that you can't seem to walk away from, God has something in that. Somehow, He's going to work good out of that. By rescuing you, by teaching you, by breaking you. I mean breaking you. This is probably the best thing for you. Just to be on your knees. God is good, and He'll work out the good in everything. The second, how you can find joy in the gospel. Let's just continue on. So good. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Preach Christ. You'll find joy in talking about Jesus. And I'll just coin the tuxedo guy. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. You'll find joy in talking about Jesus. You know, people are always telling me they don't feel equipped to share. I've said it myself. Or they don't know the Bible well enough. Well, that's hogwash. It is. It's hogwash. It amuses me. How many people bring your friends to the pastor? Oh, only if they could talk to Steele or somebody, then they'll get saved. Or if they come and hear this or hear that. And that's fine. That's not bad. But honestly, just handle it. If you understand your own salvation, and for goodness sakes, I hope you do. If you understand that you're headed to heaven because Jesus died on the cross for you, if you understand that, then you can communicate that to someone else. You can. You can. I've seen it. We have plenty of resources here. You guys need to know. We try to do a regular class where we help teach people how to effectively communicate the gospel. We're here to help you. We have different pieces of literature and things that can help you talk to your friends and family about the gospel. In this particular set of scripture, Paul's even talking, you know, about people that maybe aren't sharing the gospel with a pure heart. They have different motives in mind. Here is what he's talking about. And honestly, you know, people, and this might strike you as strange, but unbelievers have shared what is true, and people have become believers. Isn't that crazy? What a crazy thought. Truth is truth. Truth stands alone. God saves. God saves. You know, I've had people oppose me and the way I share the gospel. I've had people say that to my face, heated discussion, that it's watered down. That's watered down. And let me tell you what, naysayers. This very simple gospel is the gospel that I believed in. It came from the Bible, and it changed my life. That's how it works for me. It's just really pretty simple. And here's the thing. I see it all the time in other people's lives. I see people stepping from death to life, getting baptized, following Jesus, their lives changing. You know, not everyone's presentation is like mine. And mine is most likely wanting. So what? I'm going to continue to lead people to the foot of the cross for the rest of my life. Because let me tell you what, Christ is the one who saves. And it's not rocket science. Because he's the one who saves. He's the one who draws people to himself. And I'm not going to get caught up in backbiting and slander and people talking behind my back. Honestly, if I am sinning or causing someone else to stumble, then for goodness sakes, get in my face. But otherwise, get out of my way. That's all I have to say about this gospel, because it is my life. And I have personally tasted it and see it. I see it all the time. We're so blessed in our churches. God is on the move. He is rescuing people. Once they didn't believe, they were blind. And then they believe and they can see. It's that simple. And then faith begins. And God begins to teach them through His Word. And the church is His vehicle to grow us up. He wants believers to get into a church, into a family of common believers to help each other grow up in faith. It's so good. Preach Christ. Faith comes from hearing. Like this verse in Romans. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ, through God's word. How will they hear if someone doesn't preach? How will they know if we don't tell them, hey, read John 3:16. And once you've been saved, hey, why don't you try John 5:24? There's an assurance of salvation. Everyone who believes has. And that just helps people grow up in the faith. But you and I, we may be the only Jesus that people see. Faith comes from hearing. The word of Christ is to be shared with others by us. How can they hear if no one preaches? If no one tells them, how can they hear? Please don't be silent. You guys want me to preach now, don't you? It's kind of awkward. Please don't be silent. You don't want me to be silent. If I am, I may as well be saying, go to hell. For eternity in a lake of fire forever. I don't really care. You go for it. Your choice. That's what silence does. People need to hear the truth. If Jesus preached the same message ministers preach today, he would have never been crucified. By a quote by Leonard Ravenhill that I kind of like, and I'm not here to bash anybody. I never want to do that. But honestly, a lot of the message out there is watered down. But long as, you know, what Paul's saying is, long as Christ is preached, oh my goodness, go for it. We're united with a lot of different churches. We go out of our way. I go out of my way to meet with pastors that don't do it the way I do it. But I love them and I pray with them and I'm united with them because they're preaching from the same gospel. They don't do it exactly like we do, and that's fine. But I bless them. We're united. We work together. We labor together. Why? We're trying to reach the world. There's a purpose that God has for our lives. The third a way to find joy in the gospel is, do not be ashamed of the gospel. Let's look at this, these verses 18b through 20 in chapter 1. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Eagerly I expect and hope that I will no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul rocks. He's not ashamed to be under a house arrest. Now, this is a picture of faith and joy and rejoicing. He's turned to his circumstance, understood. He understands it's from God. He's there for a purpose, and he's sharing with the guard, with the guy that's chained to him or bringing him his plate of food or whatever. He's sharing. He's embraced his faith. And he understands. And that's where the joy and rejoicing just exudes from him in this book. That's where the joy comes from. It's knowing God is in control. You know, he has no idea when he wrote this whether or not he would be killed. He's kind of in a precarious position. He was under house arrest, and he didn't know the fate of what was going to happen to him. Maybe when you get arrested and you're in arrest, sometimes they will kill you. We find in the book of Acts, Paul, in a number of places, he got beat up. In one particular place in Acts, he got taken out of the city. They stoned him to death. At least they thought, they appeared to have stoned him to death. They beat him, and they thought he was dead. It says in Acts that they left him for dead. And they went back. And then what happened was, it says the very next verse, it says, then Paul got up, went back into the city, and what did he do? To preach the gospel. He got up, probably all bloodied and beaten up. He went back in to do what God had called him to do. Paul is not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. It's such a good verse in Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. It is the power of God. You know, I've had the privilege of seeing God's power displayed through the gospel. I personally have, whether it's been in my home or the church, or when I had secular jobs, with my family, on missions trips, in youth projects, with college teams. I live for this stuff. The more I do it, the more I want to do it. And what's happened, it has brought me the power. It is the power of God. That power has brought me into a deep, abiding love that overflows with joy. Now, I'm still being taught this, oh my goodness, because I can be a grump still. I don't completely got it figured out. But the more I'm involved in this work for Christ, the more there's a foundation, and no matter what, cancer, whatever, there's a joy, there's a foundation there. I'm here to tell you that the power in the gospel is not only for those hearers, for those that we preach to, for those that we share to. There is a power unleashed for those of us that share. I am here to tell you, there is power in being involved in sharing the gospel. It is released. It's amazing. There is power in the gospel. And I don't want any of you, and if you don't even, you know, if what I'm saying is just, whew, I don't know what he's talking about. It breaks my heart. You are missing out. It is life-changing. The gospel is life-changing. Not only maybe the very hour you turn and you understand, but every single day there is power in the gospel. And it is life-changing today, in this moment, right now. Don't miss out. Suffer for the gospel. Oh, thanks for that one. Let's look at this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. It's not always going to be easy. And nobody said it would. It doesn't say in here, yeah, get saved and draw a smile on your face for the rest of your life. Much of it is long-suffering and difficult. And in that long-suffering, difficult hardship, you'll see Christ. You'll see Christ. So good. It's part of it. It's part of it. We cannot avoid it. The fourth way to find joy in the gospel is to live for Christ. Look at these verses in Philippians 1, 21 through 20. So good is this. This is so good. This is some of my favorite stuff right here. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm going to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you, again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Live for Christ. For me to live is Christ, and die is gain, Paul says here. Lately, during my most difficult moments of sickness, I have come to a better understanding of this verse. I have. And I pray, and I have cried out, Jesus, come back, set things straight. Your design was not sickness. Or death, even. That's not God's design. And our hope is in the afterlife. It's not this life. We've been promised eternal life in heaven with Jesus. Once you're a believer, that's your destiny. To be with Christ in heaven forever in the afterlife. So yeah, in our most difficult moments, when I felt so sick lately, it's just like, oh, can I just come home? Why can't I just come home? Because I don't know about you, but this picture of Jesus and heaven and me, I have an imagination, and what God has shown me, it is going to be so much better than this wisp of a life we have for now. But get this, you know, and sometimes even as we read in this, we think, well, why don't I just go and be with him then, if it's so much better? Why don't we just get this part done, and why don't I just go be with him? It makes sense. Even as you read the Bible, you think, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, wait a minute. Well, look what Paul is saying here. God has a plan. God has a plan for your life right now. God has a plan for my life right now. Right now. In the years to come. God willing for however long that I live. He knows. God knows what I'm going through. Here's the thing. His timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. You know, people have reminded me lately, hey, Mac, you need to get better. You need to get healthy because we have much work to do. You need to persevere. You need to take your chemo. Get it over with. Come on. Be a good husband. Be a good dad. Be a good pastor. Work hard. Be the man God created you to be in the place He has placed you. And I don't know what your chain is or what your thing is or what you're going through. We all have something difficult. It's hard. It's often hard. But Don't forget, we have a Creator. We have a Master who has a plan. And everything fits together just like it's supposed to. He doesn't make mistakes. And whatever, no matter how difficult, no matter how hard it is to see tomorrow or later today, we have to believe that God has you there for a purpose, for a reason. Embrace it, turn into it, live it, because God will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's a promise. You know, I'm going to have to cling to this verse. This Friday, when I go back for my next thing of chemo, because I'm probably going to go kicking and screaming like a little pouty boy. But God has that for me. And, oh, by the way, next week when I teach in Philippians 2, it says, do everything without complaining or grumbling. So well, next week we'll see how I do in that when I stand there full of chemo next Sunday morning. God has a plan in it. No matter what it is. You lost your job? Okay, you know what? Find another one. Work hard at it. Work hard. Don't give up. Your job is really hard and you want to quit? Well, maybe God has a better job for you, but maybe He wants you right where you are for that guy that really irritates you so that when he's yelling at you or whatever, you display Jesus to him in a Christ-like response, or you speak truth to him. Whatever you're in, God has a plan. You need to understand that. Live for Christ. And here's the how-to. Christ lives in me. Look at this verse in Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Do you believe that or not? The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ lives in me. That's the how-to. That's how we do it. I could never do it on my own. You could never do it on your own. As a believer, Christ lives in us. That just amazes me. That's the how-to. Come on, it's not rocket science. Let God lead. Read it again. It's enough. Let's read it again. It's enough. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Have you died yet? I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's enough. That's adequate. You are the husband you need to be. You are the wife you need to be. You are the mother you need to be. You are the father you need to be. You are the worker in that job that you need to be. You are adequate. Christ lives in you. That's enough. You don't need anything else. You're good. All right? You don't have to do all of this stuff to be worthy. You're worthy because Christ lives in me. That's good enough. So good. So good. Wow, I'm tempted just to say, that's enough. Let's go home. Christ lives in me. We have one more. Number five. The fifth, how to find joy in the gospel. Stand firm in the faith. And this finishes out this section of chapter one. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Paul has such a pastor's heart. You know, you and I, we are Christ's hands and feet every single day on this planet. We're called to be Jesus to the world. We are, you and I. Hopefully that's going well for you. Hopefully that's going well for me. You know, honestly, if you hang a Kristen Fish on your car, I would suggest you don't do that unless you are ready to represent the king. If you're going to put that fish on your car and then go reckless driving, that doesn't represent my king. It doesn't. It doesn't represent your king. See what I'm saying? Stand firm in the faith. I like this verse. Be strong. In 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be strong. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men and women of courage, mind you. Be strong. We're called to a higher standard, you and I. We are. We are called to a higher standard. The world needs a higher standard. Oh, my goodness. Open the newspaper. It grosses me out. I don't even like to watch the news that much because it's just this yuck. I don't need to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Oh, the world needs a higher standard. God knows that. That's why He sent His Son. And you and I are representatives. We've been commissioned. We're here for a purpose. We have a reason. There's joy in this purpose, living it out for Christ.